a swish. Threes by Starks and dunks by Smith. And no rebounds if that's the case. We put Oakley and Mace in your face. We draw charges and we send picks. We are New York. We are the New York Knicks. Say go New York, go New York, go.
Hey everybody, this is the initial edition of West Coast Knicks Fan. I'm your host, Matt Ritter. I'm a diehard Knicks fan, but unfortunately I moved to Hollywood to chase my dreams. But I miss the Knicks. I got them on NBA TV. But I feel like I'm not there and I need somebody on the East Coast to really fill me in on what's going on the ground floor. So I've got my good friend and fellow comedian, Jeff Cerulli, here.
Hello, how are you doing, Matthew?
I'm doing good, man. I wanted to get through some topics today. First, I thought maybe we'd start off by going through the overhauled roster, and you know, we'll each sort of give our take on what we think. You know, we've had an interesting offseason. So, you know, why don't you take us through it, and we'll, you know, get a little banter back and forth about what we think about these new guys and some of the old guys.
Okay, great. So, obviously, the guy we're going to start with is the guy who nobody knew this time last year. Jeremy Lin is seen as a big loss. And, you know, I agree and I disagree. I think it's a bad loss because you lost an asset for nothing. Yes, his contract was terrible. It was the 5-5-15. So it was doable for this year. I just think you let James Dolan Deagle, you let him walk for nothing. They told him to get an offer from the Rockets, so he did his job, and the Knicks were pursuing, as we know, Steve Nash. So if Nash comes here, they're kicking Lin out anyway. They go, hey, thank you, we don't need your services anyway. So it was totally James Dolan. This wasn't a basketball move, which is one of the things that we all hate as Knicks fans. We hate the owner, and it's not a smart move.
I couldn't agree more. You know, I mean, that this is the reason that we hate ourselves for being Knicks fans. It's just James Dolan, because you know that if the GM got to do his job, nobody just lets Jeremy Lin walk for nothing. He's a young asset, and you know, on a dollar value basis, sure, maybe he's not a $15 million a year player, but what he brings in, marketing, et cetera, et cetera. And just the excitement. You know, I mean, I think there are probably kids who, you know, named their babies Jeremy Lin. Sure. This was the most excited I had been in at least, you know, I don't know, 10 years about being a Knicks fan, and so quickly it just, you know, all the energy seemed to get sucked out of our entire summer.
It was fun. It was a fun and exciting thing. And
I missed that in New York, too. I feel like I missed the excitement of being a Knicks fan. Like, I almost wanted to move. I was like, how do I get to New York for this run, you know, for this magic that's happening? And now it's gone. So now we're just back to being regular old miserable Knicks fans.
The crazy thing about it is it came out of nowhere. He was going to get cut. And then we all know the story. That Laker game on a Friday was so much fun when he hit, I think it was 38. And it was nuts. It was like you couldn't believe this was happening. It was like, yeah, he did it against the Nets. Yeah, he did it against the Timberwolves. Okay, but let's see. The Lakers are coming this Friday. And it was insane. And he lived up to it. He was hitting shots. It was amazing. And it was just fun.
I remember I was calling my dad, calling my brother, like just reuniting with old friends through this Knicks phenomenon. And now, you know, it's like, that's over. All that's done and gone. The excitement's gone. But on the flip side, we've made some good upgrades. Yes. You know, it's not all bad. Look, so Lin is over.
And he's flopping right now in the preseason. Look, it's just preseason, but he's showing that he can't play basketball right now.
We all know that he's somewhere in between a scrub and a superstar. We don't know where that is. Maybe he's a second-tier player. Maybe he'll make one All-Star game in his career at best. But at the end of the day, I kind of like what we ended up with at point guard.
I do. Here's the thing. I can make a case for you that the point guards we brought in are better for what basketball we're forced to play, and that's with Melo and Amari. Now, are they going to mix? That's the biggest question mark going into here. But with Amari, you want those pick-and-roll point guards. Lin wasn't that. And with Melo, you want a guy who's going to get on the ball, who's going to penetrate and dish. Lin really wasn't that either. Lin is a guy who needs the ball, who's going to score. And it didn't work with Melo and Amari. Doesn't mean it wasn't going to work.
Yeah, there wasn't enough balls to go around before Lin showed up. You know, this isn't the 70 Knicks here, you know? So I guess, you know, why don't we start off with the point guards then? Now that was a natural segue into the two new point guards that we have. First, you've got Raymond Felton, who, as we all know, under D'Antoni, kind of flourished. You know, he had this career revitalization. I think he averaged around 17 and 8. He was svelte. You know, he was running. He was svelted. He was Raymond Svelton. He really was. And Amari looked unbelievable. I don't know if that was because of Felton, but there was something good happening. You know, the first half of that year, there really was something good happening. And then, as we all know, he was that final piece in the Melo deal that we were all kind of sad to lose. We all kind of thought, hey, we gave up a little bit too much for Melo. We ended up getting Billups back, who's now gone. But then Felton completely ballooned in weight, and you know, he had a disastrous year last year, an unmitigated disaster, and now he's back with us. I don't know what Felton we're getting. What Felton do you think we're getting?
Here's the thing.
Do you think we're getting the guy who eats with Eddie Curry every weekend, and, you know?
Eddie Curry reference.
Yeah, they have the same. I mean, do you think the guy who shares a personal chef with Eddie Curry is our starting point guard? Or do you think it's Raymond Svelton, who can run the pick and roll with Amari, who can actually, who knows if he can coexist with Melo? I mean, can anybody coexist with Melo at point guard?
I also think Lynn didn't want to come back. I don't think he wanted to play with Melo again. I think he's a private guy. I don't think he loved New York in the sense of that. I don't think he minded it, but I think he was just kind of like, I can go to Houston, do my own thing. It'll be my team. Or I can stay in New York, and I have to get the ball to Melo every single play.
Yeah, it was going to be hard to overcome, you know, getting sort of picked on by Melo and his crew. You know, that J.R. Smith, like, yeah, posse of guys who are like, who is this little Asian guy? Uh-huh. Just give me the damn ball and shut up, you know? Yeah. And now he's getting a fresh start in Houston, which has a huge Asian fan base. They're already, like, acclimated to Yao Ming. He's this Chinese superstar. And he's coming in with a huge contract, so it's different. You know, it's like, with the Knicks, it was like the ball boy becoming a superstar, you know? So I do think
and
that
we know Melo doesn't like that.
Yeah, Melo definitely. Melo doesn't like that. Melo's got a huge ego.
How long did it take him
to make Stoudemire his bitch? Yeah,
to being Melo's team.
I mean, Stoudemire went from being the MVP of the league to the guy that just opened Melo's Gatorade bottles on the sidelines.
I think the third quarter of that Bucks game, it became the first game became over.
Yeah, yeah. Amari was posting up, and Melo's like, "You're in my spot."
Yeah, and
he literally took. I mean, Amari's name was on the first parking spot, and Melo was like, "No, we have to move him. It's to slide everybody down."
I do think I didn't like D'Antoni. I thought he was a little ridiculous. We don't have to get it.
He's a joke. He's a joke. He and his brother are a joke. Dan D'Antoni. Get out of here. Go back to Italy and coach some high school team.
I think good coaches can take what they're dealt with, what kind of roster they're dealt with, and kind of shape it. He was such a, if you don't fit into my system, you're gone.
Yeah.
Corey Brewer, plenty of guys.
He had a lot of good players that he dismissed because they didn't fit into his, run and gun, whatever you want to call it, so, 7 seconds or less.
Yeah, so he's gone. I like Woodson. I think we all pretty much like Woodson. We play defense.
I hate his goatee, but I like the man.
The pirate goatee?
I find it very disconcerting.
That's what I like about him the most.
I find it very disconcerting that a man could look in the mirror and be like, this looks good, this Mr. Potato Head, the black Mr. Potato Head look.
It's shaved perfectly.
No, it's very, how long do you think he spends shaving the sides of his goatee? Because I've tried to grow a goatee here and there. You have too.
Yeah.
And, probably 10 minutes in the mirror just to make sure you get it right. He probably spends an hour to 2 hours a day on that goatee.
But here's the thing you're not realizing. It's also what he puts into it. It's not just shaving. He puts lotion. It's a lot of work. I appreciate what he's doing. I like him as a coach. He always preaches the A word, accountability.
Yeah.
He hated Landry Fields, who I think, we'll get into him. I think
I don't even want to get into Landry. I'm just happy that guy, he's garbage. But anyway.
But with Felton, what we were talking about, I think he's going to play well. I don't think it was just a product D'Antoni system. I think he liked playing in New York. I think he likes the big market. I know he had a shit season last year with the Blazers, but he was still good with the Nuggets. He was good with the Bobcats for the most part. He was good when he was here is the important thing. I think he's going to play well. He's a pick-and-roll point guard. And I don't think it was just D'Antoni. And so far in the preseason, he's been a little up and down, but he's in shape, and he can run, and I think he's going to be good. And I think he's a better point guard for this system with Amari in the pick and roll.
I agree with you. I also happen to think he's a workhorse when in shape. Mm-hmm. He's a guy you could throw out there, because we don't know what we're going to get from Jason Kidd. He's a guy that you could throw out there when in shape for 40 minutes. The question is, are we looking at 17-7? Are we looking at 12-6? I think we're probably looking at 14-6 from Felton.
And that's good. You don't need him to score a ton.
Yeah.
And now the backups, Cade, which you mentioned, which is another addition. I don't I don't love it, but I don't mind it as a backup. You
16
know,
minutes
smart
a night,
guy.
25 on yeah. some nights. I mean, he definitely hasn't lost any of what he has, which is he'll make the open look. He'll make the right pass. He can finish. You know, he's a good free throw shooter, I believe. You know, he's been there in big moments. You know, he stepped up, and weirdly, he's like a pretty clutch outside shooter, even though he's a horrendous percentage-wise shooter. It seems like he, you know, kind of steps up and hits some big shots here and there.
Just, I mean, he's third right now in all-time
which
threes.
Is amazing because his career shooting percentage is under 40%, mm-hmm. I believe, which is yeah. probably, for somebody with that many shot attempts, like top, bottom 10% all-time.
When you think of three-point shooters, you think of number one...
Ray Allen.
Number two
is Reggie Miller.
And three is Jason
yeah,
Kidd.
I mean, you would think it would be somebody like Larry Bird. But, you know, I mean, that's all BS because yeah, of the year that the, you know, three-point line came in. So, I mean, look, that's what we're looking at for point guard.
Is that a racist joke? Because there's more white people back in the day and they could shoot?
I don't know if it's a racist joke. I hadn't really thought about it. We could probably go racist on the white person back in the old days who could shoot into a peach basket from a long range. So that's what we're looking at for point guard. I think
we lost Lynn as a point guard, but we added Prigioni. Pablo Prigioni is looking right. great in the preseason. The guy was going to play, I guess, about 8 minutes a game.
The 35-year-old.
Yeah, only the Knicks could have a rookie.
Yeah.
Come in, what they're going for? That's 35. I couldn't believe that when I said he's a rookie. I figured, you know, some of these Euro guys may be a little older, but 30 to really find Mozgov.
How much cologne do you think that guy wears on court? What do you think he's wearing? Jacquard Noir?
Jupe.
You think he's wearing? He's just Jupe still around? He's like I must have Jupe in my locker every night. It's in the contract. In his league minimum contract, by the way.
Oh, his league minimum.
Want to know what the league minimum is right now? $473,604.
Yeah, which is.
I think that's the highest of any sport.
Of a league minimum.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I believe that.
That's a lot of money. $500,000 to be a guy who could potentially never play a game the entire year.
Yeah, that's great.
That's a good living. To be a scrub in the NBA. That just tells you how good you have to be, you know, mm-hmm. to make it into the league. But when you're there, man, we got some guys making 473,604. That's the number. I mean, I'm looking at this roster. These are guys we're not really going to get into because they probably won't make the team. John Scherna, Henry Sims, Chris Smith. You think any of these guys are making the team?
Chris Smith is JR's brother.
Right.
And he got hurt. He's done. I don't think he had a chance to make the team, but then once he got hurt... It's like,
do we really want another member of J.R. Smith's entourage inside the clubhouse?
No. You know what I said when we signed him. I was very against that. I said, you already have Melo. You have a guy. You don't need to bring J.R. Smith in. I actually liked Bill Walker. Call me crazy.
Listen.
I think Bill Walker, for what he did, was serviceable. I think he could hit shot. I think he did the same thing J.R. Smith did without the
Without pulling a gun in the clubhouse on anybody.
I think it was the same idea, and they cut him for Dan Gadzurik.
Yeah, no, I have to be honest. Weirdly, J.R. Smith grew on me because he's very limited.
He got worse at the end, though.
He did get worse at the end, but he's very limited in what he does. But what he does it well. If you just say, hey, J.R., you know, we need you to score, you know, high volume, we're down, we need you to jack up shots, he can jack up shots and he can score and he can get to the hole. He can create. We don't have a lot of guys who can create. We're going to need that this year, you know, especially, you know, Amari's probably, who knows what we're going to get from Amari right now. He's injured. I mean, our entire front line is, you know, dependent on Melo now being a power forward. I just think J.R. Smith's going to be an important piece, whether you like him or not. He's going to have to play better than he did last year.
Agreed. He was okay to start, and then he just, you know, he just got very shoddy.
Yeah.
I'll say. But in fairness, in that playoff game, a lot of people went down. Baron Davis went down. Shumpert went down.
Yeah,
Amari went down. So
they weren't going to win. So it's irrelevant.
It didn't matter.
But I think you know we're looking at, you know, now we're looking at two guards. I guess we're looking at we are now looking at two guards. And I'm looking at J.R. Smith, and I'm thinking
he's got to come off the bench. Got to come
off
the bench.
He's got to come off the bench
because we signed someone, underrated signing.
I agree.
That I love. That I think was our best
huge move. Upgrade over Mr. Landry Fields, and that is Ronnie Brewer.
Great signing. Good defender. Can hit an outside shot, which is good in the system. If we're going to do the pick and roll and you're going to have Felton drive in, you have that potential to kick it.
The question is, can he hit the three?
Yeah, he can.
What is his three-point percentage?
I'm sure it's not great, but he can hit it.
I'm looking at his three-point percentage right now.
He has a weird shot. He has a weird scissor-kicking shot.
He's got, yeah, I hate guys that aren't the smooth Ray Allen type three. I hate the guys that sort of like the Sean Marion. They do like a weird, you know, weird rotation on the ball. It's like, what is that? Okay, I'll tell you his... 3-point percentage?
My guess is it's
from last year. You want his career 3-point percentage, or do you want his?
I would say career. He's under 50%.
3-point. He's way under
325.
Divide that in half. His career 3-point percentage is 0.244. So
that's
under 25% from three. Although last year was his career high at 27.5%.
In my mind, he hits threes.
There are some guys in your mind that you think hit threes, like Baron Davis. Baron Davis thinks he hits threes, and he hit them at a clip of like 22% last year.
So if you want to go with losses, Baron Davis is one who's still apparently hanging around the facility. Like, we can't get rid of him. Like, he's melted from office space. They just put a workout.
You know, I almost got hired to write for one of his YouTube channels, and I didn't. He has a YouTube channel, but I didn't get hired. So screw him. I think I put a hex on him, and that's probably why he got hurt. So. Not a fan. I know I do like Baron Davis, but that would have been awesome if I was working for his production company and not doing a free podcast with you right now.
If you remember this time last year, our hopes were on Baron Davis. Every Knicks fan was going, listen, I know Tony Douglas is starting the season, but we got Baron Davis coming at some point.
By the way, where is Tony Douglas?
He's on the Rockets.
Right yeah. Now with See, I, Lynn. Weirdly, I liked Tony Douglas the first two games of the year. And then, yeah. I don't know, it only took two games for Melo to destroy his confidence or D'Antoni to destroy his confidence.
Here's the thing about Tony Douglas. I think he tried really hard. I don't think he's like a shitty person. I think he's like a good guy and he tries really hard. I just think he was limited and in that point guard role, terrible. He's not a point guard.
He's another one of those undersized two guards, you know, that probably is a great, you know, street ball kind of player.
He's
a
30-point game. Yeah, he can score.
Listen, he's like Earl the Goat. You know, you put him in a street ball game, he's dropping 40. But you put him in a system, where does he go? Is he the shooting guard? He's undersized. He can't defend anybody.
But let me ask you this. Is Don Cheadle going to play him?
I really hope Don Cheadle dunks the ball in the Tony Douglas story.
I think we will be fine without any of these point guards we lost. Bibby.
Mike Bibby. I mean... Yeah, the corpse of Mike Bibby was... Is he out of the league now, Bibby? Please don't tell me.
I don't think Bibby's in the league.
Yeah.
But Tony Douglas is on the Rockets, and
he's going to back up Lynn, huh?
He's a serviceable backup two guard.
But do you think he's happy about backing up Lynn? I mean, you think about it, right? Starting a year ago today, Tony Douglas was a starting point guard.
Yeah.
Jeremy Lin got his bags at the airport. He probably hazed him. He probably put some sort of, like, icy hot in his, you know, underwear or something. There's probably some sort of rookie hazing ritual. And now that Tony Douglas has to carry Lynn's jockstrap, there's probably a little payback for all that hazing Tony Douglas may have done.
I agree, and I feel like Douglas might have known his days were numbered. Like, he was just going to enjoy this. He's like, new. Like, look, these guys know what they are. It's like, I'm not a point guard. I'm going to try to do it, but he just couldn't do it, and they suck. But hey, man, we had Baron Davis coming back in January.
So are we saying now that we've upgraded point guard?
Yeah, I mean, combination. I will say we upgraded it because
I'll tell you what we've downgraded, the excitement. Big time.
Yeah.
Raymond Felton is a very boring point guard.
You think boring? He gets in the lane. He's pretty boring. I'm not going to give you that.
He's what I call middle of the pack. You know, he's definitely a middle of the pack point guard. He's obviously talent wise. He's just not the top.
Well, he's not in top 10.
And where would I rank him?
He's not a top 10. No. But is Lynn a top 10? We don't know.
We haven't seen. But Lynn was at least exciting.
Lynn was very exciting.
And you know, look.
I got when everyone came back last year, when Melo, Amari, Lynn, Chandler, when they all started together, I got really excited, and that lasted like 6 days, and then people got hurt again.
I'll say it's a wash. That's where I'll go. I'll go so far as to say that we're breaking even. It's complete wash.
What?
These guys will replace the production of Lynn. They won't replace the excitement. Who knows? Kidd might provide some veteran leadership. That remains to be seen. I do think that we already know that Felton and Amari run the pick and roll really well.
Yeah, we saw that then. Lynn did not run the pick and roll good with anyone. So you can make the case that this
But it wasn't Carmelo Anthony's team at that time. So that's a whole, you know. Anyway, let's move on to the shooting guard. So we were talking about J.R. Smith.
Love the Brewer upgrade. Love it.
Listen, but the problem is, as I just stated, he's a 24% three-point shooter. And we all know that off the pick and roll, you need the three-point shooters to be able to drain those open jumpers. That's where the ball is going. That's where the ball should swing on the pick and roll if there's a double team. You know, that's not going to work with Ronnie Brewer in the corner.
I don't know, 24%. Man. My mind's telling me something about him. I think he can do the job.
I think he's a good slasher. I think he's a good defender.
He's not a great. He's not, offense isn't his game. No, but you know what? When you have J.R. Smith and Melo and all these guys that are going to score, it's fine. You realize how much better we are defensively.
Yeah. Well, obviously, look, my favorite player on the Knicks is I'm on Shumpert. You know,
but he's a great defender.
You know,
he's
when will he be? You know, when will he be? You know, playing.
They say Martin Luther King.
You know,
January.
To me, that basically says the whole season's a wash for him. If he's going to start playing, then that means at least February. I mean, who knows? You know,
very promising.
The kind of injuries, you know, I agree, but that's probably a 2013. You know, excited. Let's get excited about him on next year. Who knows?
Very promising young rookie last year. He looked real good at times. Very good slasher. Lockdown.
Lockdown.
Not bad when he got into shoot mode, where he's going to take a step back and shoot it.
And he can flush it on people,
but
which I love.
Good dunker. Good slasher.
It's nice to have a guy who can flush it on people. I mean, we haven't had a guard who could flush it on people like that since maybe Starks. It's been
Starks
a while.
Because he did one dunk.
Well, Gerald Wilkins could flush it on people, too, you know?
Are we going to get into Walker?
Yes, Kenny Skywalker. I mean, you know, he was sort of a guard, small flower. He was like...
Spree could dunk it. Realizing Shumpert, when he throws it down with a two-hand, he does a spree.
It's
dunk.
A little bit of a spree. You're right. I forgot about spree. Can't forget about spree. That was a good little mini era.
It was great, man.
It was a good little mini era.
But I'll say this team has the most talent since the 99 Knicks.
Well, it's the same roster as the 99 Knicks. You're right.
But...
I wish we had him 4 years ago. Yeah, we did. 8 years ago then.
But
that was
Shumpert,
the major league reference.
We'll all pray for him. He looks good. We all want him to get back soon. And I think...
bottom line, our shooting guards are weak. Very weak.
Well, it's hard. If you go around the league...
We're the bottom 10 shooting guards in the league right now. I mean, you put J.R. Smith, Ronnie Brewer, and the physical therapist of Iman Shumpert. team together.
Iman Shumpert is this year's Baron Davis, the guy that's coming back. We're all excited about
I don't want to do that again. I don't want to rest my hopes on a guy who's now rehabbing three times a week.
We're dating the same shitty girl.
Yeah,
it's going to get better. She stopped cheating on me.
Yeah, and who knows? You know, maybe he's just like enjoying his life and not rehabbing. Yeah, that's what I would do.
Have you seen his flat top?
Yeah,
he's got a huge flat top.
He's got
right now.
Flat tops are back. I think Brandon Jennings brought him back. I think he was like the first guy to really.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Because I saw a bunch of kids on the streets the other day, like younger kids rocking the flat tops.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, this is really back.
It's serious.
It makes you feel like, man, it sucks to be white sometimes. We can't really do much with our hair.
I did have braids when I was a kid.
Did you really?
For like a week.
I had like a rat tail kind of thing in the 80s.
Braids, like. A girl braided my hair, and I went to school like that.
All right, well, we're gonna have to send around pictures on the internet. If you want to see that, you can email us, and we'll send you pictures of Cerulli with braids.
I as much as I hate J.R. Smith, I don't mind him as the backup. I'd rather have someone else, but I'm not. You know, I'll live with that.
Yeah,
but
see, I disagree. I think J.R. Smith is going to be one of the top bench players in the entire NBA.
Huh?
Yeah, I actually think. He might garner some votes for best six man of the year this year. I think this is the year that he puts it all together. I do think he's a very, very skilled player. And if the A word, as you were saying before, by Woodson is used properly, accountability, he will be in line. He'll fall in line where he belongs.
I think Woodson is – look what he did with those Hawks teams. Now, yes, they didn't go far in the playoffs, and that I don't know how far the Knicks will go, but I think those Hawks teams overachieved. And I think Woodson is a good coach for that, getting a lot out of his players.
I'm not going to lie. Woodson went, 18-6 last year? Some crazy
great.
High number.
He did
very well.
Listen, Knicks.
By the way, we took a game off the Heat, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big deal.
Well, here's the thing what people aren't realizing.
People don't realize. That's a huge deal. Like, they weren't giving us a game.
No.
You know, they wanted to sweep our asses.
If the Knicks were playing really well at the end last season, they're playing really well. They lost to, I think it was the Cavs. They always have trouble with the Cavs.
I don't know why that is.
They lost to the Cavs Friday before the season ended. They got blown out.
Yeah.
That was an important game because what they were the 7th seed. They win that, they would have been, I think, the 5th seed. They would have jumped past the Magic.
See, this is how the Knicks fans think. It's 6 months later and we're still like, you know, we could have won the championship somehow.
But if they got the 5th seed, they're matching up. They're maybe winning a round.
Yeah.
The Heat made the Thunder look foolish. And the Thunder
I agree.
Beat the Spurs, who won 10 in a row.
Listen,
so,
there's an argument to be made that we were the second best team in the NBA.
Yeah. Well, what I would say is, I think if they matched up against the Pacers or any other team, the Sixers,
I want to talk about seven,
or they would have won.
And I also want to talk about how we'll get to this in our Eastern Conference prediction. I want to talk about how I think we got better and some of these teams got worse, which
some
we'll get
better.
To a little bit later. But so I think that pretty much moves us on to the forwards.
Well, but you're talking about, hold up for a second, you're talking about shooting guards.
Yeah.
it's very weak right now, the league, in terms of shooting guards. So, yes, we have Jarrett Smith and Shumpert when he comes back, and Brewer.
Okay, well, we play in a division with Dwayne Wade, yeah. Joe Johnson.
Pierce is good, too.
Paul Pierce, Joe Johnson, Philadelphia has, who's their...
Well, they got rid of Iguodala. They have Turner.
Evan Turner is more of like a combo.
I like ours better than the Sixers. I like our roster better than the Sixers. We'll talk about that later. But seriously, who besides those, that's, you're right. That, yeah. The Atlantic is very good for the two guard, but if you go around the league...
No, look, two guards not what it's not what it used to be. You know,
no,
it's definitely not what it used to be.
When we were growing up, and you had Mitch Richmond,
which is why you can get away with having Brewer as your starting two guard. I mean, you wouldn't have gotten away with that a few years ago.
No, the idea of having a shooting guard that can't shoot,
yeah,
is it, when we were kids in the 90s watching basketball, pretty much everyone had a two guard that can shoot.
Oh yeah, lights out. Lights out. Jeff Hornacek, man, remember that guy?
That's all,
yeah, these were shooters.
But I'll deal with that, and it's such an upgrade over Fields. Fields was garbage.
Fields, I think he's a world's first negative PER. Did he have a negative PER every time he was on the court? Like the entire.
I don't know. I don't have enough money to read Hollinger's comments.
Yeah, I don't either. You know, I want to one day get together with a bunch of people and chip in on that. But I think they only let you have like one internet access to it, right?
Everything's free on the internet.
Meanwhile,
Hollinger's
predictions are all wrong.
People don't even pay.
They're
for
all wrong, by the way.
Going to pay for Hollinger's
I got $10. Should I put it on UGs or should I put it on John Hollinger?
Porn? There's so much free porn. Yeah, no one pays for it. You're going to pay for John Hollinger's shitty.
He's got some.
PR
Hollinger's got some nerve. I mean, Jenna Jameson should just kick that guy's ass. Like seriously.
But yeah, I mean,
because it's the same guys that would. That they're debating that money too. It's guys like us that are like, where should we put our money?
The insider.
Yeah, I want to put it insider.
Now,
I want to put it in a porn insider. I want to be on college rules.
Yeah.
I want to be on the. If I'm going to pay money to be an insider, it's going to be on college rules.
He is. He's something special. But if you go to, like you're saying, you go to the small forward now.
Yeah.
Which, this is a big year for this guy. Is he going to make the leap? Are we going to see Olympic Mellow? Are we going to see the guy who believes in the system, who passes it around? Or am I going to be bored watching a guy dribble in the corner? What am I going
to
see?
I am a big Mellow defender, probably to a fault. I keep believing that he's going to put it all together because when I see him play up to the best players in the league, he can play as well or better than the best player in the league head-to-head, which is LeBron James. When you see them play head-to-head, you know, look, obviously LeBron bested him. He had a better team. You've seen it throughout their careers. Every time he plays against these best players, he has a point to prove, but he doesn't just do it one-on-one. He somehow manages to will his team to victory a lot of times against this top competition. But what makes people great is doing it day in and day out and really lifting your teammates. He has all the skill sets to be one of the top five players in the NBA. We all know that. He's a great shooter. He's a great, you know, he's got post-up moves. He bulls his way to the basket. He cannot be stopped from scoring 30 points a game. He's also a good passer. It's not like he's not a good passer.
No, he is a good passer.
He has basketball sense. He's got a high basketball IQ.
He just doesn't want to pass, but he is a good passer.
Yeah, he has. I mean, look, there have been a lot of players that were reluctant passers earlier in their career. You know, Michael Jordan was a more reluctant passer earlier in his career, became more of a passer. There, you know, there's a history of other big-time scorers becoming more of a passer. But I don't know that, you know, his eighth year in the league, is this his eighth year now?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
You know, it's his eighth year in the league. I don't know if you are what you are at this point. You know,
might be even more.
Yeah, it might be his ninth year. And what he is a guy that looks great a lot of the times, but maybe missing that key ingredient that says, hey, we can build a championship team with this guy being our number one player.
Yeah, it remains to be seen, and I think you can build around him. Because you see the games like when they opened up on Christmas last year, carried them.
Yeah.
2 years again against the playoffs and the Celtics, only guy left, and he was carrying them. Now
that was the greatest game he ever played, 42-17. That was a remarkable performance.
He has these moments that you're like, yeah, this guy, he can win it. He won in college. He wins in the Olympics. And he was great in the Olympics, especially in was it 2004?
I mean, look, it's widely acknowledged.
No, 2004 is when they lost.
Right.
Oh, 2008. Yeah, and he was one of the leaders on that team. And
you can also see all the other great players in the NBA respect him. You like when he's on the Olympic team, he's one of the best players.
Yeah, he can shoot lights out at time. He gets real hot and he gets in the zone. He's one of those guys who just gets in the zone.
There's so few people like that. It's so nice to have one of them on our team just to see that. You know, it's like NBA Jam with this guy.
When he gets hot, I mean, you know, you got to watch out. He can make all the shots. And there's been games like that, and you've seen down the stretch where he's hitting three, then drives, and he's so good at that. But yeah, the defense isn't there, and he's got to. Is he going to want it with this team to buy into it? I'm hoping so.
Is Hero Ball really his Achilles heel? I mean, is it that he has to have the ball in his hand whenever the game is on the line?
He doesn't do that in the Olympics.
Do you think it's because if he had a number two he respected enough to share the ball with? He obviously doesn't respect Stoudemire because he literally treats him like a valet.
Do you think so?
I do. I mean, in the... I don't think he respects him.
I think they're friends. I think they're legit friends.
I don't think he sees a fit then with Stoudemire because he definitely doesn't defer.
He doesn't do
what other stars do, like LeBron and Dwayne Wade. Sometimes they switch off to get their touches.
Oh, you mean like, the guys who dress alike?
Yeah, they don't have to dress alike like Westbrook and Durant or anything. But there is something to be said for if you really want this guy to be a superstar. You got to feed his ego too. You have to realize, hey, you're a superstar. I have an ego. Well, he's a superstar too. He has an ego. He needs, you know, 20 touches a game. You look at the touches, you know, and you look at the shots. Ever since Melo got there, Stoudemire's been getting an absurdly low number of shots. You can't have a guy who is capable of throwing up 30-point games shooting 12 times a game. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what the answer is there. I don't know.
They have not played well together.
No.
They just haven't. And,
but it's got to be on the best player. It's got to be on Melo. I mean, he has not made room. I mean, the other problem is they're a low block position. They love the same exact spot on that left low block. So I don't really know. But I've never understood why they don't run pick and roll together.
Yeah. When Melo's forced to do point guard, point forward, bring the ball up, they don't do that. And this year there's been talk about keeping Amari, because he's hurt now, when he comes back, keep him on the bench, which they're not going to do. They're just not going to do it. Woodson's not going to do it. His contract's too big. They're just not going to do it. Whether it makes sense from a basketball standpoint,
which is frustrating. Yes. We all say, oh, we're not going to do that. Why the hell not?
Yeah, I haven't heard a basketball reason.
I haven't heard a basketball reason. Tell me a basketball reason why we shouldn't have Amari off the bench.
Is this ever about basketball reasons?
No.
I want to see the Heat say they're going positionless this year.
By the way, for other teams, it is about basketball. Yeah. You know, a lot of other teams have guys that defer and, you know.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Is it because he's Dolan's guy, too? I mean, Amari is very much Dolan's guy.
Well, think about before Melo came here. Amari was MVP. And the thing that surprised all of us about Amari when we got him is how well he was hitting that shot.
He's hitting that shot
with Raymond Felton. We didn't know he could do that. And it was consistent. It wasn't just once or twice a game. He was consistently hitting these 18-foot jump shots.
Reminded me of Patrick Ewing out there.
He was hitting three-pointers consistently.
Yeah, that was
forget about that, too. That game against the Celtics.
Yeah.
He had a three, and then it was late.
I don't really want Amari shooting threes, but I agree with you.
No, but honestly, I have confidence in Amari down the stretch of a game. If he's open to take that three, he can hit it.
But then you end up with these 30-year-old Charles Barkley types who think that you just stand at the 3-point line because they don't want to bang anymore, which is where he already is at his career. He doesn't want
to
bang.
But what I'll say to you is this: has it been a fair sample? 2 years ago in the playoffs, let's think about this. 2 years ago in the playoffs, Amari was out, right? So it was just Melo versus Celtics. Last year we had D'Antoni. Let's not count that. Shitty rotation, shitty coach. So when you have Woodson, Amari, and Melo, it was a very small sample. And then when you get to playoffs, you had no point guard. And then Amari didn't play because he hit a fire extinguisher. So the sample size has not been so great, but it hasn't worked thus far.
For all of you listening out there, that is the classic Knicks rationalization by Jeff Cerulli. It's called Knicks rationalization, where you take an objective situation, and then you make it subjective based on circumstances.
Look, I don't think Ewing had enough time.
I don't think Ewing had enough time either. I think if Ewing, if Ewing had 1 year with Spree, if Ewing was healthy
Ewing had a better supporting cast instead of a bunch of tough guys who are, tough role players.
If Charles Smith just hit that goddamn layup, Patrick Ewing would have that ring, and he wouldn't have to take shit from Jordan and those guys.
Or we kept Mark Jackson.
And if Rod Strickland didn't smoke so much weed, we'd be really. If Eddie Lee Wilkins was a little bit.
If Michael Ray Richards.
If Bernard King didn't blow out his knee.
Bernard King could have played with.
Knicks rationalization, ladies and gentlemen. Look, I somewhat agree with you. Sadly, that's why we're Knicks fans, because we're delusional. We actually believe that all these reasons are legitimate. The bottom line is, Melo and Stoudemire do not play well together.
Not yet, no. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen, but right now, yeah, they're not playing well together.
Yeah, I mean, look I can say
this
that
year with pick and roll point guards.
I can say that it took LeBron and Wade at least 15 games to mesh. How many have we had? 100?
Yeah.
We've had about 100. So
I don't even think 100, because it was 50 this year, and
then
D'Antoni,
like 30.
I can't not count the D'Antoni, but I'm not counting it.
Well, it was probably 60, but you know, it probably should have been enough for them to at least have one game where you said, oh man, these guys look good together.
Yeah.
Did we have one game like that?
Yeah.
One?
Yeah.
We had one?
Like,
how many do you think we had? Five?
Well, you know, it was weird. They were playing the Nets last year, and they all were healthy, and they were doing great.
For a full game?
No.
Only one
half.
They were
doing great for about two quarters.
Two quarters.
They were passing around, it looked great, and then somehow they got blown out. But when they came back,
I remember
like,
the
wow,
game.
Wow, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Everyone's back. We got Lin, we got Melo. No one's going to stop us. And they, I'm telling you.
You know what happened? I'll tell
like
you what happened. At halftime, somebody handed Melo the stat sheet, and he saw he'd only taken seven shots. And, you know, Amari saw that he had taken four shots and it wasn't enough.
Do you like Melo?
Look,
like Melo?
I love Melo.
Do you think he's a shithead?
I don't really know. You mean as a person?
Yes.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I don't really know. I think he's a bit of a thug.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a thug. I don't know if he's a shithead.
Is it the Warner Brother tattoo that he has?
Yeah, yeah. I see, like, that. See, that throws
Stop
me.
Snitching?
Yeah, that throws me. I mean, is that a thug tattoo?
Yeah, it's Warner Brother.
Right, I'm just saying, but, like, it seems like.
West Baltimore, too.
Yeah, I know. It's West Baltimore.
I think it's Warner Brother, too.
Yeah. I don't know. Is he a shithead? Do you think he's a bad dude?
I don't know. Who knows? I don't know him personally. You don't know any
Look,
of these guys.
If he's boys with J.R. Smith, he can't be a good guy.
Well, here's the thing that scares me, too. Think about those Nuggets teams. Who was on that team? It was a base of J.R. Smith, Carmelo Anthony, and Marcus Camby.
Yeah.
And now the West is tougher, but they didn't really do anything until Billups came.
Yeah. Well, Billups was a leader, man. Billups, I love Billups. I miss Billups. I miss you, Chauncey.
But we have these guys.
I want to write a song about you, Chauncey.
It's weird when you take all these guys from a team that didn't work, and you're like, no, this is different.
It's very frustrating because now we've become Denver East.
In a way.
And it's like, wait, so what's our ceiling? Is our ceiling the same as their ceiling there? Because they had a better chance.
West was different. Well, Melo had the 1 year. They got to the Western Conference Finals with Billups.
Well, that's what I like about Melo. By the way, you look at his stat line from that series. He was an animal.
He was
an animal against Dallas.
Well
he was an
year.
Animal against Dallas mm-hmm. in the series before that. Look,
I
love Melo. I'm a Melo apologist. I think he's going to have a great year. I think he's a Hall of Fame player. He's got to put his stamp on this team this year. His legacy is on the line. These
Now's
next
the
2 years.
Now's the time.
This year, next year, his legacy is on the line.
All is forgiven if you make the playoffs and go well, and maybe even
take us to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone's expecting them to win it this year. We just want to see results. Knicks fan,
beat a good team in the playoffs. Beat an Indiana. Beat a Philadelphia.
Get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, which
let's
I think
it.
Beat a Boston that's aging. I mean,
are you
going
to be Marbury or are you going to be
exactly
your
don't,
own thing?
Don't be Marbury. Marbury.
Don't come here.
Don't end up as a 40-year-old guy in China leading,
Vaseline.
scoring 60 a game and eating Vaseline.
Don't do that. Don't be talking about kissing your sister.
So I think that pretty much, you know,
with the
brings us.
Court?
I mean, I think that, you know, look, we know what we know about Stoudemire. You know, if he's healthy.
I think the pick and roll. I think
if he's healthy, his back is such a big question mark. Like, we have to talk to his back specialist. I want to get his back specialist in on our podcast here. See if we can talk to, you know,
James Andrews.
Yeah. We got to get Andrews on the podcast. He knows everything about the NBA. I mean, he's the kind of guy that if the mob really does control gambling, they would obviously have Andrews on the payroll or threatening his life.
There's a very telling moment about Amari. Did you see him on The Daily Show?
No.
A few weeks ago. It was a very telling moment. At the end of the interview, he was plugging his kid's book. John Stewart asked him, you guys going to be good this year? And without missing a beat, he goes, yeah, we're going to be real good. And
he
then,
said that.
Yeah, and I believed it. And then John Cena goes, are you guys going to beat the Heat? And he's like, well,
he
froze up, which just telling that he knows, players know what they got. They know they're going to be good, but they know they're not.
I would hope Melo would answer it yes.
Yeah.
Because but a true alpha dog answers yes.
Oh,
a true alpha dog thinks they're better than everybody else.
I think Melo would.
And that's the thing we learned about Stoudemire, which is slightly disappointing, is that he's not a true alpha dog. He was only the bully because there wasn't a real bully at his school. You know, it's like he was the bully at a private school, and then a public school kid like Melo comes in, and he just beats the shit out of him on the first day of school just to prove who he is.
I think their relationship's a little different, but...
No. I'm talking about their basketball relationship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying. But
it's Melo's team, and Stoudemire knows it, and he basically, you know... stepped down the day that Melo got there. And that was disappointing. I thought that there was going to be two alpha dogs. You know, look, Wade stepped down from LeBron, but Wade's still an alpha dog.
Well, Wade was a genius of getting LeBron to come over
there. Yeah, to his team.
No one hated Wade, who I think is one of the biggest dicks in the league.
Yeah, he's a real douche.
I think he's a huge dick with those fouls and the crying and everything. Yeah. I think he's one of the biggest dicks. But people are...
Yeah, I'm glad he's having a custody dispute over his kids. No, I'm just kidding. Nobody wants to see that.
Do you?
I don't care, actually. I could care less about Dwayne Wade.
But yeah, if you want to round out the rest of the front court, we got Stevie Novak coming back.
You know, I've heard rumors that he worked on his game.
And that he
can actually move laterally. And they've been talking a lot about him being able to dribble into his jumper, which I think will be huge for him.
We like him. We like what he does. But as you can see what Miami did, if you want to take him out, you can take him out. Likes to shoot jumpers in the corner. Very, very, very good percentage.
Great regular season player. Useless in the playoffs.
But because Miami, if you saw, they were rotating and Wade was rotating and stopping that shot. You can take him out. But
they wrote a blueprint for how to make him an ineffective NBA player for the rest of his career, unfortunately.
Yeah. But, you know, in this system, you know, hopefully, you know, if the ball's moving with more weapons, because they were down last year.
It doesn't
matter.
In the regular season, when people don't rotate as hard on D, he's gonna have some big moments for us.
He's going to shoot 6 of 8 some nights.
But come playoff time, he's going to be a bench warmer. There's really no place for him unless we can rotate.
Well, I was also against the Heat, though.
Well, yeah.
They're a good defensive team.
Listen, if our pick and roll is outstanding and he stands like 5 feet behind the three-point line and buries him.
It all depends on our pick and roll.
I'm not ready to bury him,
but it all depends on our pick.
I'm not too pumped about him after what Miami did to him. I mean, they pulled his pants down and spanked him on national television 4 games in a row.
Yeah, yeah. And he also refused to pay Dwayne Wade's child support.
Yeah. Actually, I heard he is paying it now. He's now paying Dwayne Wade's child support.
And our center, who I got to credit you, you foresaw this happening. I remember talking hoops with you. Well, you didn't foresee it happening. But
No. I like how you said I foresaw it. Let's go with that.
Man, I remember like 2 years ago talking to you, and you're like, the Knicks need Tyson Chandler.
They gotta make that happen.
And I was like, that's a great idea. And then it happened. You were the first person I emailed to be like, oh, guess who the Knicks are getting. Great move. Love it. I think he's everything you want. Great leader.
What's not to like about Tyson Chandler?
I love when he blocks a shot and he hustles and he runs out. He's great, man. He's great. He's just a great player, man.
The one thing I don't like is that, you know, he doesn't get enough touches. Sometimes I'd like to see him he doesn't need it, but it makes these guys feel good. Like, they, you know, it's like you got to give him that little something extra. These guys, these hustlers, you got to give him a couple of alley-oop dunk attempts. Mm-hmm. That's how you keep these guys happy. But look, he's the perfect. He's an A+. He was an A+ last year. He changed the culture defensively there. I mean, he almost got Amari and Melo to play a little D towards the end of the year. Almost.
No one will ever lead the league in slapback rebounds.
Yeah, nice. He loves to just slap it back. He's really
Sometimes you'd like to see him put it up. Yeah, that's one thing he doesn't do. He's not the guy that's going to grab the rebound and dunk it with authority. He can do that sometimes, but a lot of times he wants to kick it back.
I don't know if it's because he doesn't have that quick jump, that quick twitch where you can just like go right up with. I think he needs to gather. Maybe that's why he doesn't do that. But look,
he's a hunter though. He's not a gatherer.
He's a hunter, but he's a phenomenal, phenomenal player. And backing him up,
The 99 Knicks. Camby and Thomas.
I mean, Marcus Camby is listed at 6'11", and Tyson Chandler is listed at 7'1", which I think is weird, because I'm pretty sure Camby is taller than Tyson Chandler.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Camby's like 7'4".
I'm going to be honest. I kind of like Camby coming back.
Yeah, no, I do.
Play, what, 10 minutes a game?
Average 4 block shots.
Yeah, I like it. I think that's why people want to get on the Knicks about being old.
Marcus Camby's the worst post-up player in NBA history.
Well, he doesn't have offensive. I remember another thing people used to say. I remember 99 people used to go, Marcus Camby is Rasheed Wallace without a jump shot. When they used to compare when Rasheed was doing his thing in Portland. And the good news is now we have both of them 12 years later.
Listen, the good news is if anybody here was in a coma for the last 13 years, you've missed nothing. You've missed absolutely nothing.
We got
nothing.
Jason Kidd.
We have Jason.
And Marcus Camby. Oh, and Rasheed Wallace.
And by the way.
And Mitch Richmond.
Crazy Kurt. And Mitch Richmond. Rolando Blackman? Oh my God, we have Rolando Blackman on the roster?
We got a lot of old guys, but they're bench guys.
Listen, it's good. I'm glad Kiki Vandeweghe is on the bench too. He can really run. It'll be nice to see him
and
get
Gerald
out there.
And Gerald Wilkins.
Yeah, listen, it'll
and
be...
And Dominique, his brother.
Yeah, no, and also Herb Williams is coming back, I heard.
Herb Williams. Isn't he still coaching?
I don't know. You know, why did nobody ever give him a head coaching job?
Too soft.
Why did nobody ever give Ewing a head coaching job? Can't understand what he's saying.
Ewing narrated some piece on NBA TV, Knicks training camp.
Yeah.
And it was almost unwatchable of him hosting it.
Poor guy.
It was just, I thought it was just, he'd give his, but they were like, that host was like, so Patrick, what do you think about the Knicks this year? What do you think about Jason Kidd? And he was just like, I don't know. It was a combination of he couldn't speak and he didn't have any opinions.
Isn't there some sort of ESPN training program that they do for these sportscasters that they could have for coaches? You know, some sort of communication class, one of those like Tiffany's Table Manners type ladies school of elocution for NBA coaches. Because I feel so bad for Ewing. By the way, I was watching classic NBA TV the other night.
Love it.
Game one of the Eastern Conference Semis in 91-92. Jordan and Ewing, classic matchup. Probably the only one that Ewing ever won where they went head-to-head. Ewing went 10 for 10 in the second half, dropped 26, and the Knicks won by 2. I was like, man, I think they're going to win. I think they're going to win the 92 series. I think they're going to win the championship.
It was the 92 series?
It was the 91-92, which they lost, I think, in 6 games.
Yeah, that was their first run, the Bulls. Yeah,
but I watched it, and I got back into the mindset of, like, I think this team is going to win 3 championships. I think we're going to win in 92. I think we're going to win 93.
They had it all. But this front court.
Hey, we got crazy Kurt.
Kurt Thomas. See, that's the thing I didn't know, because people said when we signed Rasheed Wallace, okay, well, he might not even make the team. We'll see what he does in preseason. Yeah. He hasn't played the preseason. He's going to make the team. They didn't just sign him to let him sit on the bench. He couldn't play. He wasn't in condition. He's making the team.
Yeah.
So I'm going down this lineup. We've gone through everybody. That's 13 guys right there. You can play 12, dress 12 for an NBA game. So either I'd say Camby's going to make it. But
Camby's definitely
Thomas
making
Wallace,
it.
Thomas and Wallace, those guys are
Thomas will get cut probably at some point.
I think at some point, yeah.
You know what's crazy? Kurt Thomas once averaged he was the nation's leading scorer.
In college.
His career average is down to 8.3 points per game. You want to know what the highest he ever scored in a season was? Take a guess.
Yeah. Was it for the Knicks?
It was for the Knicks in 2002-03.
16?
Nope, a little lower.
14.
Yeah, 14. That's pretty good.
Here's the thing, if you're forgetting, this was a while ago, he was very good for the Knicks.
Oh, he was
that
good.
That 99 team, he started. Camby didn't start.
They split minutes.
Thomas started, and then you had LJ at the 3 at his natural position. Thomas,
if you can't see me right now, I'm doing that L thing with my elbows to hit that 4-point play there. That was a good, that was an exciting team.
This is the most exciting roster since 99. I'll go on record.
I have to agree with you. I mean, I'm excited because it's the same roster as the one we had in 99. So that's the roster. What is your prediction right now? Wins and losses. 82-game season for our New York Knicks.
So what I will say also, I think also Copeland. Chris Copeland.
Yeah, we
playing
like
really
him.
Well in the preseason.
We like
I think
pre-season
he'll be the last
All-American.
Guy on the team. But he'll be in suits.
I hope he has some nice suits. You know what I want to see? I want to see it like a rookie with some crazy suits on the Knicks. I like coming to the games.
I understand why they call that street clothes. Is that your street clothes?
Those are your street clothes. I want to see your church clothes. I want to see what your church clothes are. Those are your street clothes.
You ever try to go in a club and they're like, sorry,
you're wearing
street clothes tonight.
Yeah, no.
But this is a Armani suit.
No, we're looking for your club outfit, which, by the way, is sneakers and and baggy outfits. Those are their club outfits.
Do you think Rasheed Wallace is going to contribute anything, or do you not like
I think he's an absolute zero. I've always hated Rasheed.
Really?
I've always hated everything about him. The technicals always annoyed me.
It's annoying.
It's like a badge of honor leading the league in technicals. Yeah. Throwing your stupid headband, that stupid white patch on the top of his head. I once went up to him in Philadelphia because I was in law school at the time and I was teaching a class to underprivileged kids at the high school he went to.
Yeah.
And he was signing shoes at a shoe store in Philly. And I mentioned that to him. I said, "Hey, Rasheed, I'm teaching at your old alma mater." And he's like, "So?" And that was all I ever needed to know about Rasheed Wallace. That's my Rasheed Wallace story.
There you go.
Always hated him ever since then. But also, he's another one of those guys pissed away his talent, according to some people.
Talent, though. He's got one championship, played another finals. That Blazers team was real good, almost made the finals. I think he pissed away his talent.
Well, maybe he didn't have as much talent as people thought he had.
He lived up to their potential, though. I mean, how many guys?
Kevin Garnett.
Jordan, even he didn't live up to his potential.
KG.
If he didn't retire, he could have won 9.
KG lived up to his potential.
Did he live up to his potential?
Absolutely.
It's tough, man. It's tough to say who lived up to their potential. It's such an interesting thing. Obviously, Melo's not living up to his potential.
Melo's not.
Coming out of Syracuse, winning a championship in 1 year.
Dwayne Wade has lived up to his potential.
Dwayne Wade has.
LeBron James is finally living
so
up to
far,
his potential.
Yeah. He's not
Chris Bosh has lived up to his potential.
Chris Bosh has lived up to his potential.
He's outperformed.
And after last year, how well he played, and
I would say Derrick Rose is living up to his potential.
Yeah.
If he's healthy. I'm excited to see Derrick Rose.
It's his team.
Who else? You know, it is an interesting question.
Who lived up to their potential? But a lot of guys, they're still young. Did Amari live up to his potential? A kid who came out of high school?
You know what? He had the knees. You know,
kid who came out of high school?
By the way, I mean, look, if there weren't those suspensions in 07... You may be looking at the 05, you may be looking at a Suns championship if Joe Johnson doesn't get hurt, I believe it was.
That was 04.
Yeah.
And then they got rid of him.
Yeah, if he
that
didn't,
team
yeah,
was deep.
That was a deep team. I truly think the 07 team got really jobbed. And that's Stoudemire.
What did that teach you? Just take out Steve Nash.
By the way, that Stoudemire abused Tim Duncan.
Yeah,
that Stoudemire abused Tim Duncan. And that was Tim Duncan in his prime, you know?
Well, yeah, a little old. But yeah, Duncan lived up to his potential.
Oh, he absolutely outperformed his potential.
Say Jason Kidd lived up to his potential because he had all those assists, won a championship. It just hinges really on a championship.
I think
I think Dirk did.
I mean, you know, he's...
Depends where you come from.
It's hard. You know, yeah, if you win a championship, I think you've lived up to your potential, unless you're like, you know, a guy who's the number one or number two player in the league like Kobe. You got to have 5 rings. You got to have 6 rings. But it is a tough question. So that's our roster. So what are you going on record? Wins and losses.
Here's what I'll say. I like this team. I like the makeup. I'm on record as saying I think this is the most exciting and balanced team since 99. I think they got the pick and roll point guard. I think they're going to win over 50. I think it's going to be about a 51, 52, which is high. I'm projecting high, but I think this team is built for the regular season. Now, playoffs, I think they're going to the second round, and that's it. But I like, for the makeup of this season, I think it's good. I think it's a good team. I'm going to go with about 51 wins, I'll say. 51.
I'm going to go low. I'm going to go 48 because I just think like Melo, guys like Amari, they don't bring it every single night.
Yeah.
They don't. And if you're two guys who are your only scorers, I mean, we don't have a lot of balance scoring-wise because our big guys don't score at all.
Chandler
and Camby don't score at all. Felton can score, but our shooting guards can't score. So we're really relying on Melo and Stoudemire.
It's going to be a jump shooting team again.
It's going to be tough. And, you know, look, that's tough to watch on off nights. There's going to be some really ugly losses. So I'm going 48 and 34, which I think, you know, depending on how we think the Eastern Conference shakes out, he's going to be a top five. I don't know if it's a 4 or 5.
Well, I have what I have in my projection.
All right, why don't we just move on to that? So I say 48 and 34. You're saying 52?
51.
We got to put you on record.
51.
51 and 31.
It's not that much different.
The winner gets a gyro from Gyro 2 across from MSG. Okay, so now we're looking at the Eastern Conference.
I'm believing in the pick and roll. You know what it is? I think it's going to be two things. I think it's going to be the defense and the pick and roll on offense and the shooters, Smith and Novak. I just see 51.
You have to have some wins coming from J.R. Smith and from Steve Novak. They're literally going to have 25-point games from these guys. It's possible. For them to win 50 games, you're talking about having games where J.R. Smith is our leading scorer a few times, Steve Novak's our leading scorer, maybe even Felton's our leading scorer a few times. You're going to need that.
Here's what we're not talking about. He's going to be missed. Who's going to take the 4 charges a game? We're missing Jared Jefferies.
You know what? When he originally signed with the Knicks, we all hated him. Because he had a 40 minute
contract.
Doesn't it go to show you what money means? You know, because
at
$400,000 a year, he's the best player in the league. At $10 million a year, he's the biggest bust.
I will say what Melo played with 2 years ago in the Celtics play, it was criminal.
It was an abomination.
I remember tweeting about it.
I remember tweeting about it because combined, all those guys' career averages were under total 20 points a game. He was playing with under 20 points a game on the court.
Tony Douglas, Landry Fields, Melo, Ronnie Turiaf, and Jared Jefferies.
Did Ronnie Turiaf have that heart attack yet? I know he's that hole in his heart.
Too soon?
Not yet. Not yet. It's not soon enough.
So we're going to miss Jared Jefferies, but I think they'll be okay. Here's how I have my East, because this is an East Coast podcast. I have the Heat at number one.
Obviously.
Going to have a big season. I think they'll win high 50s, 60s.
Yeah, they'll win 60 games. Even coasting, they win 60 games probably.
Yeah. I had two.
Chicago.
Celtics.
You think they still got it now?
I like their additions. I think Jason Terry is a great signing. Ray Allen was kind of walking around on
what about that guy, the young guy who was
Bradley? He's coming back in January. He's like their Shumpert of a guy.
So you're seeing 50-something wins.
I think they're going to win the division.
Okay.
I think
at least 52 wins if the Knicks are second.
Yeah, I think Pierce and Garnett, you know, you're still
This is their last year if they still have it.
How many years have we?
This is the last one. I mean, Pierce is going to get shot outside a nightclub again at some point in the offseason.
I think they're going to win the division three because someone's going to win that Central Division. I think the Pacers.
Oh, you think they're ahead of the Derrick Rose led Chicago Bulls?
Well, when is Rose coming back?
I don't know.
Is he coming back? You can't answer that. So I'm going to be conservative with my Bulls pick. Okay. I think they're still going to be sort of okay without him. I do have them making the playoffs, but I don't think. I don't think they'll win the division.
People are down on the Pacers,
but I think I don't know. I still like that team.
They're in that Hawks mold of you don't go over the luxury tax, but you don't have a superstar. We all know Danny Granger is a fake superstar.
David West is an undersized.
Yeah, he's a homeless man's mellow, definitely.
Yeah, but you know, you still got David West.
David West is an undersized bully.
Hibbert's a throwback center. Which is an advantage in a league without many centers.
Yeah, but you know, he's easy to defend. You double him, he's too slow out of the post.
I also they lost Collison.
I thought that was a big loss. I think Collison's a really good player.
But still, starting, he wasn't even starting, so.
Yeah, he had a lot of energy. I mean, that team is. I think 48.
I like Paul George a lot, too, man. He's a nice player.
He's another guy. I didn't see that much. When I watched the playoffs, I wasn't that impressed with him.
So I got the Pacers at three. Okay. I have our New York Knickerbockers at four.
So you got him coming
at four. I have
them
at the four seed. Think about it. Think about last year.
In a 50-game season,
they weren't too far away from the four. I think they're better this year. If they won, like I remember I revisionist history 5 minutes ago, if they won one or two more games, they're getting the five seed. So I like them in the four spot.
If John Starks hit this shot, we would never have this podcast because we'd just be happy dudes doing good stuff with our lives. We wouldn't be comedians. We wouldn't just be, you know.
I'm going to have them as the four seed.
Yeah, the four.
The Knicks at the four seed. And they're going to be playing the Hawks in the first
round. Hawks
are
the five, even after losing Joe Johnson.
Yeah, Johnson, but they picked up some nice guys. I mean, I love Jeff Teague as a point guard.
You know, he's got an ego. He's got that Jason Terry, I think I'm better than I am thing going on. Jeff Teague. Oh, yeah. I forget, he got in a few scuffles. I think he got in a scuffle with the Heat. He's been in quite a few scuffles with some alpha dogs out there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't put him in the top. And then, you know, with the Celtics too, Rondo's fantastic. So, I mean, the Celtics are going to be
love watching Rondo play. That fake move that he does, the Wesley Snipes, you know, where he pulls the ball to the side and comes around. I mean, how many times did he watch White Man Can't Jump before he perfected that move?
So I like the Hawks at five. I think they're still going to be good. You got Al Jefferson.
Al Horford.
And Josh Smith, who everyone loves, is the most athletic
guy. I actually do love Josh Smith.
The most athletic guy ever.
I mean, watching him dunk is a very exciting thing. I mean, that's just pure joy, watching him flush.
Six, the 76ers. They got Bynum.
They're going to make the playoffs.
They lost some players. They lost Iguodala.
They're going to make the playoffs.
They lost Lou Williams.
By the way, I happen to think Bynum is going to be... 25, 22, 25.
Well, it's a center in the league.
Yeah.
He's the second best center in the league.
He also happens to be very athletic. He's not just some big stiff. If you really watch Bynum. Listen, I've been living in LA the last couple of years. You watch Bynum and you're like, why the hell is Kobe not feeding the beast?
Because Kobe is. That's his.
I mean, it was disgraceful. There are a lot of Lakers fans who felt the same way. Bynum has a lot of maturity issues. He's got a lot of head issues. But talent wise, absolutely the best center in the league.
And rounding out, I have number seven, the Nets, the Brooklyn Nets.
I'd like to see them make the playoffs.
Look, I like Andre Blatch off the bench.
I got to be honest. I think Darren Williams, I've always been this Darren Williams. There was a year where I said, Darren Williams is better than Chris Paul.
I was wrong. Yeah.
But I still like watching that guy play. He's another one of those guys. Like, is he an alpha dog? I think he kind of is.
Yeah, I think he's got a mean streak.
He's got a real mean streak.
He's a good shooter too, man.
And he is a lights out shooter. He's not just a good shooter. He's a lights out. You cannot leave that guy open.
He's a great shooter. He also started Linsanity.
Yeah. He did.
He started Linsanity. Yeah, he did. And then
he abused him. I mean,
because he was sick of hearing about it.
Who abused him worse, Lane, last year?
Mario Chalmers.
The Heat or Darren Williams?
Yeah, I think Chalmers and Norris Cole.
Darren Williams dropped 45 and three quarters on us that game.
But the Heat took the ball away from him. Lane couldn't even.
No, the Heat treated him like the Asian kid who came to your school in fourth grade and he took his lunch money like every day for the first 2 weeks. Yeah, that's what they did to him. I would never do that to an Asian kid because I'm not racist.
I have the Nets at seven. I don't love their front court. I think Lopez is a little weak.
Lopez is terrible. He's terrible. He's soft. And then he averages, six rebounds a game? Four rebounds a game? The guy's a joke.
Yeah, he doesn't rebound much.
So who makes it out in eight?
Bulls. Without Derrick Rose. And then he comes back, and no one's going to want to face him.
See, look, I personally...
How good is that matchup? Heat versus Bulls in the first round, Derrick Rose comes back for it.
See, I think you're crazy, because I think Tom Thibodeau is one of the best... is it Thibodeau or Thibodeau? That always bothers me, the TH.
He's with the Knicks. Imagine if we kept him.
Yeah, if we kept him, we maybe play some D. Tom, whatever his name is, Thibodeau, he's a great coach. He's not going to let his team be eighth. That's not going to happen. His team is going to be fifth at worst, even without Derrick Rose.
I don't know, man. I don't like this C.J. Watson, John Lucas.
I like C.J. Watson. I do not like John Lucas. I do like C.J. Watson. If you watch that guy play, he's a real baller. By the way, Taj Gibson is going to be at least 35 minutes a game. Most underrated player in the NBA, but I want to get to that in a minute when we're done with our predictions. So that's
Taj Gibson over Boozer. I don't like Boozer, man. Listen. I don't like Noah personally.
I hate Boozer.
Boozer's, I don't think Dang is that amazing.
Dang is also overrated. Boozer's
there
overrated.
You know,
Dang's
that's
overrated.
My eighth. That's my, and I think the Knicks beat the Hawks, and then they lose.
My only quarrel would be if anybody's not going to make the playoffs out of this, it's going to be the Nets. I don't think Deron Williams lets him miss the playoffs with the roster he has assembled, but look, it's possible.
What's your take on Joe Johnson then?
I've never liked him. I think he has no heart. I think he gets his numbers. I think he's looking to pass at the end of the game. Luckily, he has Deron Williams, who's going to be looking to shoot at the end of the game. I think he's a first three-quarter player who's very good. He's got a lot of, he does a lot of things pretty well. He doesn't...
Shooter, though. He still is a really good shooter.
He's just not a superstar. He never has been.
I don't think he's a superstar either, but...
I can't really argue that because I'm looking at the other teams on the outside looking in.
Who are you putting in?
I don't see the Bucks making it. I really don't.
I don't like that backcourt. It's too flashy.
It's the same problem.
It's like Marbury Francis.
The same problem that Golden State had. They just moved their problem to somebody else.
Jennings.
Ellis. Curry and Ellis didn't work because it was two little guys who aren't. Yeah. Curry's more of a point guard than Jennings is probably. Mm-hmm. So they've only exacerbated the problem.
I don't hate Jennings though. In a different team, I kind of like Jennings.
I would love to play in that 3-on-3 tournament, something like that with Jennings. Me, Ellis, and Brandon Jennings in a hoop it up tournament.
I don't like the Bucks. I don't like the Raptors. I don't think the Raptors will be terrible.
The rest of the Eastern Conference is garbage completely.
Well, the Pistons could be a little better.
Potentially. I like, who I like? They've got that big man. Greg Monroe is a very underrated player. Let's talk about some of the surprises that you think you're going to see in the league this year. Just from players, from a player perspective, are there any guys that you think are going to have a big breakout year?
Gerald Green.
Yeah, I saw that.
He'll continue.
I saw that on the internet yesterday. Oh, really? Somebody was talking about it? I think it was Simmons, maybe. I'm not buying that.
I think he was good on the Nets last year, and now he's on the Pacers. I kind of like that.
I see Bynum having a dominant year.
I wasn't picking someone so obvious.
No, listen. I like the under the radar.
Why is Bynum playing? Is he going to play?
I see LaMarcus Aldridge again having another leap. Even though he had the leap, I think he's going to have another leap.
Another leap.
I actually watched.
Are the Blazers making the playoffs?
I don't want to get into the West. The West is too hard. We'll have to do that. We'll have to save that for next week. We'll, we'll get into the West. But I think Aldridge.
Are the Cavs making? No.
No, but.
We all love Kyrie Irving.
I think
Kyrie. You want to talk about how good he is.
He's going
to
make another leap. He's going to be an all-star this year.
He is the best young guard now that Derrick Rose is gone.
Yeah, no, he'll be an all-star. Absolutely. What else? Who else do you like that's sort of flying under the radar?
Bobcats are going to blow.
They'll blow.
The Magic are going to be terrible.
Yeah, no, they're all terrible.
Wizards are going to be terrible.
Let me ask you this about the James Harden situation there. What I watched in the finals, I guess apparently it was a lot different from other people.
I don't think he was great in the finals.
I thought I saw a guy exposed for what he really is, which is a third banana. But for some reason in the offseason, it's like people forgot what happened in the finals. All he does is run straight forward and try and draw fouls. And he ended up with half as many charges as he had fouls.
Yeah, I don't. He wasn't great in the playoffs.
I don't see a guy who has all the tools.
No, and he's going to get top money though.
I see a guy who's at his best, Joe Johnson talent level. He's not that, A-list talent level. Yeah, I'd like to see Stephen Curry come back healthy this year. I've always thought he could be a top tier player when healthy.
Yeah, I love Stephen Curry. I wanted him on the Knicks.
Yeah, I really...
And we did not get him.
What do you think about...
we took Jordan Hill that year.
What do you think about a fully healthy Memphis Grizzlies roster this year?
I like the roster, but unfortunately in the West, they're not as good as the Lakers or the Thunder. So what are you? You're like Knicks West. You're not as good as the Heat, but...
Are you thinking Lakers Heat finals?
Yeah. I mean, I just,
does it seem like it's one of those years where we already know from the very beginning what's happening and we're going to try and talk ourselves into some other teams throughout the year?
On paper, there's no reason the Lakers should make the finals. You have Steve Nash, who's, I know he's old.
Yeah.
But when you're playing with Kobe and Dwight Howard and you have guys like Jameson coming off the bench, that's a really good team, man. You have Artest.
Is Jameson anything? I mean,
he's good on the bench.
Jameson
is
39 years old, isn't he?
Yeah,
I mean, that guy is.
He's a great team.
Is he not? At some point, he's just going to be a scrub. I mean.
Well, I don't think the time's now.
You don't think so?
He's
still got
a lot of good players. I think the Lakers, they make the finals.
What do you think? How do you think Howard
and
Gasol play together? How do you think Howard and Gasol?
They play great together because now Gasol doesn't have to go down low all the time. He can stay on the block. Howard is the most dominant big man right now. I think it works perfectly. I don't think you could ask for a better player.
I think ever since Shannon Brown slept with Pau Gasol's wife, I think he's been completely shattered.
Happen?
I don't know if it happened, but ever since that moment, he got Delonte West. I don't think he's ever been the same guy.
Pau Gasol?
Yeah. Any other players you're really excited about?
I'm curious if you're knocking my playoff in the East, who are you taking out? You're putting the Raptors? You could maybe make a case for the Raptors.
No. I think you've got the right eight teams. I just do think that
the Bulls are a lot
higher. I think the Bulls are 4 or 5 and the Knicks are 4 or 5, which is a dangerous. We don't match up well.
Nobody's
going to
want to play the Bulls. If Derrick Rose comes back, let's say February, March.
I'd like to be in that 3-6 sweet spot if we're playing in Indiana. If Indiana is the number one, I don't know how it works. I guess.
Well, it's by division.
Division, right? So if Indiana is the three.
You're going to have the top four are going to have to be three of the division winners.
If Boston's the division winner. Look, I think we could win the division. I think our division's weak. I think it's going to take 52 wins.
No.
Look, the Knicks.
Four good teams, though, I think.
I'm just saying, I don't think we have a 60-win team out there, obviously. So, look, you predicted 52, I predicted 48. If we win 50, we may win the division. 50-32 might win the Atlantic Division.
We're both low on the Sixers, though.
I'm low on the Sixers.
Yeah,
Doug Collins is a good coach, but look,
Is he though?
It's probably not. People say Doug Collins.
I think
once you turn 60 and you've been a coach for 20 years, people just start referring to you reverentially, like you didn't get fired 17 times in your career, like Michael Jordan didn't force you out so he could have a good head coach that eventually led him to 6 championships.
I agree, Ben.
If you've been in the league for 25 years and you've never won a championship, you're a bad coach.
Yeah.
You're a bad coach. Just laws of averages.
Bad coach.
Is Jerry Sloan a great coach?
I think he was a good coach. He made the finals twice, though. It's not really bad. I mean, how many people did Michael Jordan stop from winning a championship?
Right, I mean, Pat Riley didn't, but not because of you. I don't know. I guess that wraps it up, then. I think this is a good inaugural episode for the West Coast Knicks fan. I'm really excited. I got the NBA package lined up.
You have the NBA package?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be leaving work. Well, I don't work, so it's great. I'll be sitting home at 4 o'clock, you know, watching the games on the West Coast. So, you know, it's going to be great. I get to watch a lot of excitement. It's nice to see an 82-game season where everybody's healthy. None of this, you know, shortened season where everybody's out of shape for the first half of it. And, Melo and Stoudemire, that's what it's all about. Can they put it together?
Can they? That's going to be the big question.
That's going to be the...
This is the year, though. We find out.
This is the year.
More excuses.
This is the Knicks fans. This is our year, guys. This is our year. Second round exit. All right, that's it for episode 1 of West Coast Knicks Fan. We'll see you next week.